We've been looking in Psalms 42 and on Wednesday nights having a study on battling our emotions. Specifically, we've been dealing with how to handle depression. And there's a victory for the person that has depression. And we live in a day and age where so many folks have been diagnosed with depression or other personality disorders. And they seem like they want to give the impression there's no hope and no help for that. If you've been diagnosed with depression, you're going to be depressed for the rest of your life. They get you dependent upon pills or medication or some other kind of thing. And I believe that God can help those who are discouraged. God can help those who are depressed. And God can help those who have fear, anxiety, and calm those and bring peace. So we'll be discussing on Wednesday nights that subject. And tonight we're going to pick up where we left off last week. And let's look at Psalms 42, and we'll begin reading the verse number 1. Psalms 42 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and of the Hermonites, and from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. In the nighttime his song shall be with me in my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me. Well, they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." What a great portion of Scripture. And what a great comfort that we have as we have the comfort from the Word of God. And so tonight I want to talk to you about, again, comfort and help for the depressed, or better yet, battling our emotions. We are emotional creatures, and if we live by our emotions, we are going to be in trouble. But if we can tell our emotions sometimes how they ought to feel, according to the Word of God, it helps us live a victorious life. Father, now we ask you tonight, once again, for your help. As we look at the Scriptures tonight and go through some things, I pray, dear God, that you would call to our mind the remembrance, things that we've studied. I pray that you'd fill this place with your Spirit. I pray that you'd rest upon our people tonight. And Lord, I pray again for our country. Lord, I pray that there be revival, that folks in this time of anxiety and fear and the unknown, they would turn toward you. And Father, we know that a lot of things being said tonight, and Lord, no one knows it quite for sure except you, Father. So may we live our life with faith. May we live our life trusting you, Father. Now tonight, use your word again to encourage and strengthen the hearts of Christians. Lord, I pray that there be any that's not saved, that tonight they turn to Christ and be born again. This we ask that in your name and pray. Amen. I want you to look tonight at some things we'll look at a little bit of review. We talked about tonight there's help for the cast down. Those that are discouraged, live in fear, anxiety, those that are oppressed, there's help for them. They don't have to always turn toward secular humanism or medication to find help, that God is able to help them. So we talked a great deal last Wednesday night that there's help for the triune God is a great comforter, and God is the helper of those that are cast down. And we looked at some scriptures, 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And so that includes everything that we can cast upon God, all our care. He cares for us, and he knows where we're at. We talked about that depression, fear, and anxiety, and discouragement are not too hard for God to heal. If God can save us, conquer and heal us from our sin, then these other emotions that we face and deal with, God is big enough to handle that. If God can part the Red Sea and feed the children of Israel and give water and make water into wine, all the miracles that God did, If you can do those things, then your fears and anxieties are not too big for God to heal. God is man's great comforter. We talked about that. God engineered man's comfort. We talked about how that God did that with Paul and Silas, and how that he sent Titus to comfort them. God knew where they were at, knew their needs, and so God engineered their comfort. And I believe that God does the same thing for us as well. We also talk about God knows where you are and knows what you need. Nothing surprises God. God didn't misplace you. God didn't send a trial to you that he wasn't aware of. And so God knows where you are and what you need. And so we can hope in the God of hope. I want to talk tonight then further than this evening. Let's see here. We'll go past some of these slides. Probably those that are on Facebook can't all see those unless Jonas were to turn them over, but he might be a little afraid to do that. So let's look tonight, first of all, that so you can just kind of pan back and forth if you would, Jonas. That Jesus Christ is a comforter of them that are cast down. Take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 2. This is a great passage of Scripture, and I want you to see that tonight. Hebrews chapter 2. And we're going to begin reading the verse number 13. Hebrews 2:13. The Bible says here, "And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I send the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." Now watch this, verse number 15. "And deliver them who through fear of death, with all their lifetime subject, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has succored, being tempted, for he that himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." So here we find that Jesus Christ, according to Hebrews chapter 2, that Jesus Christ is the captain of our salvation. And though crowned with glory and honor, Christ was made a little lower than the angels, that he might taste death for every man, according to the Scriptures. And this is all done by the grace of God. He became partaker of flesh and blood, that through his blood he might destroy Satan, who had the power of death. By his resurrection, he conquered death and removed its sting. Now, the objective of Christ Jesus in his death by resurrection, his objective was to deliver those who through fear of death were subject to death's bondage. And so death had a bondage or had a hold upon people. The fear of death would put people in bondage. And so ungodly fear of anything puts people into bondage. When we fear anything that's not godly, no, we ought to have a godly fear, a fear of God. But any kind of ungodly fear places people in bondage. And this is where the fearful, the anxious, the discouraged live their fear paralyzes and enslaves their mind, heart, and body. And Jesus Christ, according to Scripture, is able to comfort and deliver them. Jesus Christ took on the form of man that he might succor man. In other words, succor means to run to, or to run to support, to help or relieve when a difficulty, want, or distress. What a great word. The Greek word comes from a compound word meaning bow and theos, which the word bow means to shout, and the word theos means to run. And so basically the word of God is saying here, it runs to a cry for aid. And so when the believer, an individual, cries out to God, cries out to Christ, according to the Scripture, because he is resurrected from the dead. Thank God for that, as we celebrate that on Sunday. And so because of his resurrection, his power over death, he removes now the sting of death, and he removes the fear of death. And so when someone cries out to him, because he was suffered like we suffered, tempted at all points like we are, yet without sin, he is able to run to the aid of those that cry unto him. And so Christ is able to comfort those that are cast down. The Bible says in John chapter 10, verse number 10, "The thief cometh not, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly." And so Jesus Christ, he is the good shepherd. And he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Not to be living in this anxious or anxiety and fear. Not to be living paralyzed with the unknown, what might be or might happen. But we're to be living with the abundant life, the victorious Christian life. And if your life is being destroyed by the vexing of your heart and mind, it is being destroyed by a thief. According to the scripture now, the devil, he is a roaring lion, and he seeks about whom he may devour. We're his prey. And so if your mind and heart is being vexed, living in fear or being anxious, that means the thief has taken property that does not belong to him. Now again, when a thief breaks in and steals, he's taking something that does not belong to him. He's trespassing. He's on ground on property that does not belong to him. And so a thief has no right nor claim to the believer. Satan has no right or claim to the believer. And when he tries to rob from us, he's taking property or ground that does not belong to him. He's trespassing. And so we find that he is the thief. And Jesus Christ came not to destroy, but to give life. According to the Bible in John chapter or Hebrews 7:25, he says, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing they will make intercession for them." So we find that Jesus Christ is able, he's able to be our good shepherd, he's able to comfort us, and he is able to pray for us, he prays for us. So we find in the scripture tonight that not only is God the comforter of those that are cast down, but Jesus Christ is our good shepherd, and he's come that he might give us life and life more abundantly. He destroyed death and sin by his resurrection. So now he comes to give life to the believer abundantly. The third thing tonight I want you to see, the third person of the Trinity, is this. The Holy Spirit is the comforter of them that are also cast down. So not only do you see that the triune God labors on behalf of the believer, labors on behalf of man that he might bring comfort. God gives comfort to those that are cast down. Jesus Christ is the comforter of those that are cast down. And the Holy Spirit of God is the comforter of those that are cast down. Take your Bible tonight and turn to some scripture. First of all, let's look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I want to lay to some, I know we've been kind of deep in doctrine these last few weeks, and we'll get to a few practical things here in the future, but I really want to lay this doctrine down. I know that sometimes doctrine to some folks is not as interesting as some practical ideas or some things, but doctrine is so important that we realize what the Bible says and the truth of the Word of God. If you don't know doctrine, you don't have any idea how to live your life. And that's why emotions sometimes get the best of people, because they live their life based upon what they feel, not based on what the Word of God says. And so there's some things that we must as believers know. And the triune God of heaven, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they labor on behalf of man to bring him comfort and peace and to heal heal the wounded. And so Jesus Christ is able to comfort those that are discouraged. This idea, well, I'm depressed, or I'm chronically depressed, I can't get over it, you know, that's a thief wanting to come in and steal and destroy. Look at John chapter 14 and verse number 16 of the scriptures tonight. The Bible says this, "And I will pray the Father." So here's Christ talking to his disciples. "And I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter." Now watch the words here. "That he may abide with you forever." So Jesus Christ, as he walked this earth, was a great comforter of those around him. He comforted those that were in need. He comforted those that were sick. He comforted those that were cast down. Now as he begins, as he prepares to do his work and go to the cross and resurrect and go to the heaven, we find that he says, "I'm not going to leave you by yourselves or comfortless. I'm going to send you another comforter in my place." And he says this, "And that he may abide with you forever." If you mark your Bible, you should circle the word abide. The word abide. The believer here, the word abide means to continue, to dwell, or to rest. And God says that this comforter, the Holy Spirit of God, he will abide with us, not just temporary, but he will abide with us forever. He will dwell or rest with us forever. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse number 26. Romans 8, 26. Romans 8 is a tremendous chapter in its entirety. But here in verse number 26, we see the work of the Holy Spirit. "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray." Boy, have you ever been to a place in your life where you've been anxious, a little bit afraid, fear of the unknown, maybe facing a temptation or a trial, and you have no idea what to pray for? That's been me a few times, where you're just facing some things and you want God's will, but you just don't know how to pray. The Bible says that when we don't know how to pray, God says this, for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Bible says here that not only does Jesus Christ make intercession for us, but the Spirit of God that dwells with us, our comforter, when we don't know what we should pray, or even when we're praying wrong, the Spirit of God can pray for us and intercede on our behalf with groanings that cannot be uttered. So we find tonight that the Spirit of God, He prays for us. He intercedes on our behalf. And so when we face a trial, when we face the unknown, when we face an uncertainty, when our heart is heavy or discouraged, or like the psalmist writes, my soul is cast down. And we see throughout the Word of God, men of God who are cast down in their discouragement or in their soul, that the Spirit of God, He prays for the believer. He dwells with us and He prays for us. Then look with me at the book of Acts chapter 9. Here we see that we have the doctrine tonight of the Holy Spirit, that He dwells with us, He prays with us. Now let's see that doctrine in action. Acts chapter 9 and verse number 31, we see that application take place. Of course, in the early church, we know there was persecution. And it was a bad thing. Nobody, I think, longs or likes to be persecuted. But really, when they got persecuted, the gospel exploded to all the regions around about there. The church in Antioch was started and exploded and grew. And so Christians, people were being saved because of persecution. But watch verse number 31. Then had the churches restored all Judea and Galilee and Samaria. Watch it now. And were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Here we see tonight the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God in action. We see the application of the doctrine of Him being our comforter, that as the churches were persecuted, and though they labored, and now we see that they were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Ghost. So tonight I believe this, when the church of God walks in the fear of the Lord, they will also walk in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Now this comfort is just not a passing thing, but the Bible says that they were walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort. So not only was there a godly fear of the Lord, not only was there a desire to live right and to serve God and to live holy and a hatred of sin, they were walking in the fear of God, a reverence of God, and because of their walk in the fear of God, they also walked in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. You know, the Holy Ghost can take, you know, I have found that there's often times when folks are discouraged or depressed, sometimes that's a result of a guilty conscience. So sometimes it's a result of hidden sin. And when you walk in the fear of God, and your heart is right with God, the Spirit of God is able to comfort those that walk with God, and He brings a great peace in their life. And by the way, you say, preacher, that's me, and I'm walking in sin, and I've got some secret sins. You can confess those. You can get rid of that guilt by confession of your sin and asking God to forgive you and agree with God that it's sin and repenting, and you put your faith and trust toward God in those areas, and the Holy Spirit of God can comfort you in those areas. Now I want you to see these verses tonight from the Bible. Romans 8:15. The Bible says this, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now this fear that the Bible speaks about, I think it's just, I know that in the context it's talking about the fear of death, the fear of everlasting life, but really we've not received the spirit of fear of any kind when God's our Father. I thank God, you know, there were times in my life when I, growing up as a young person, there's things you're afraid of. It might be you're afraid of the dark. It might be you're afraid of the boogeyman. You might be afraid of the guy, the monster under your bed. All kinds of things that young people are afraid of. But you know what? You always felt better when Dad was around. You know, no matter who your dad was, when you're a young person, he's the toughest guy in the neighborhood. And he can beat any monster. If not, your stepmom can. See, sometimes they're pretty tough too. But when you're with your family, there's great comfort there. And the same is true when it comes to the believer. It's that God says, listen, we've been adopted in the family of God. So God is our Father. Now, can I ask you a question tonight? If God be for us, who can be against us? So, a preacher, there's something I'm afraid for. Listen, you know, it really reveals idols in our life when we're so afraid to live for God that we're afraid. You know, well, I might die if I do something for God. Well, isn't our whole journey and the whole desire is one day to see Christ face to face and be in heaven? This world really is just, we're just passing through. You want to live like that. And so we've been not been given the spirit of fear, the Bible says. Look at the book of, here, 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse number 7 says this. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. May I remind you tonight that if you live contrary to these things, that's not a spirit from God. If you are overcome tonight in fear and you're anxious, you're cast down and discouraged. If tonight abides in your heart, there's a weakness in your character, a weakness in your soul. There's hatred in your life or bitterness. Your mind is confused and frustrated. That is not from God. God does not give us a spirit of fear, but He gives us a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. And so we can boldly live for God. As the USS Enterprise, boldly where no man went before, gone before. Okay? We can boldly, as Christians, live for God. Because of the Spirit of God that lives within us. I heard this joke the other day. It's probably not very funny. I thought it was. It said if this quarantine keeps on going much longer, Dolly Parton's going to let Jolene have her man. So, you don't know that song, Jim?
No, I wasn't country.
Okay. Now, here's the night where we're going to make application and we're going to go home after this. Some of you can look online about who is Jolene. Now, here's what I want you to see tonight. So we talked in the last two Wednesday nights that the triune God is our comforter. And they both labor, they both work to comfort the believer. We see that God comforts those that are cast down. Jesus Christ comforts those that are cast down. Holy Spirit, God that abides with us forever, He comforts those that are cast down. But here's the, I guess if you will, where the rubber meets the road, where I must engage this. I must partner with God for my comfort. Now, there are those that think, you know, well, you know what, if I just, you know, if I'm saved, that means all my problems are over. Well, the big problem is over. You're not going to hell anymore. But and this idea that I can live the way I want to live for my life and doesn't matter how I live now that I'm saved is not true either. I must partner with God for my comfort. Watch what the Bible says in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. God says this, come unto me all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So there's the invitation now to those that labor and are heavy laden. He says, come. And He says, come to any man. Doesn't matter that tonight where you've come from, who you are, what your last name is. Doesn't matter rich or poor, black or white. It makes no difference tonight. He says to all men, come unto me, all that labor and heavy laden. So He addresses all men and He addresses those who have been weighed down and burdened with sin or life or whatever it may be. He says, come. But then He says this in the next verse. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart and ye shall find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. So the Bible gives the invitation, come. Here's Christ saying, come. And then when we come, he said, I want you to take my yoke upon you. Now this is a double yoke. All right? We're to get in the yoke with Christ. We're to get into the battle with Him. We're to get into the work with Him. We're to partner with Him. And He says that when you do that, He says, listen, I'm meek and lowly. The world is hard. Sin is hard. The devil is a predator. He'll destroy and ruin your life. But he says, I'm meek and lowly in heart. And He said, when you part with me, you shall find rest for your souls. The ungodly and carnal want to wade in the filth of this world and sin and then ask God to remove the consequences. The defeated man blindly lives for self, consumed with his greed and self-indulgence. He believes that his comfort is found in whatever he can gain, take, or get. Though he is flooded with possessions and amusement, his heart remains empty and despondent. He further compounds his depression with vain religion. In self-righteousness, he molds a God in his own image with the attempt to make God walk with him. This vanity only elevates the heart momentarily. In arrogance, he manufactures an emotional experience that at best can only mimic spiritual comfort. This deception has the power to elevate the mind to moments of ecstasy. Both a crashing force slams its victim back into a state of helplessness and despair. This is a repeated cycle of the manic depressed. This is where many people live over and over again. They try to find comfort and possessions and things they have and in vain religion. And for a moment of time, that lifts them up. You know, when people live for things, they're discouraged or they're depressed. You know, I'll admit, when I get a little discouraged, I want to go buy something. I don't know why. I guess I'm like many other folks, thinking that if I go buy something I really want, it's going to help me feel a little better. And it does for a couple of days. Then 3 days later, I have what they call buyer's remorse. Oh, why did I buy that? I don't really need that. And then I face the same discouragement I faced 3 days prior. And so this repeated cycle for where many people live over and over again. And when religion is false or vain in your life, when you're not saved, and you only use religion to try to somehow appease your emotions, there'll be times when you're extremely with an ecstasy of emotion, and so what you think might be joy or gladness, but then at the end of the service, at the end of the day, when that emotion is gone, then you're back down where you started from. That's not what God does. And so we must partner with God to be comforted. To be comforted, I must walk with God. Look what Matthew Henry said. If I don't get a haircut pretty soon, that's how my hair is going to look. It says this, those are most likely to walk cheerfully that walk circumspectly. Amen. Now think about that for a while. Those are most likely to walk cheerfully that walk circumspectly. This is where modern man is today. Their joy is gone because we've forgotten how to walk circumspectly in this world. This is where Christians, backsliding Christians, the corner Christians, this is where they live because we've forgotten how to walk circumspectly in this world. Now, a triune God is able to comfort a triune man. I'll say it again. A triune God is able to comfort all of man. Now, man is soul and spirit and body. But the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 through 24, it says this. I can't see it from here. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless on the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Listen, if God can preserve your soul, spirit, and body till the end, well, can he bring comfort to all three? Now, many folks have no problem believing that God can heal us physically, except for the scorner, except for those that are against Trump and the Pelosi crowd. They kind of mock those who are praying. Hey, I'm glad for our governor. I may not agree with everything she's done so far, but I'm glad she called for a day of prayer tomorrow. We need to pray and be in prayer. And I thank God for that. But we have this idea that God can, you know, God can help our soul, and God can help our bodies. Well, God can help your spirit too. God can help your emotions. God can help a troubled mind. He's able to preserve all three for us. So we find that the triune God is able to help a triune and comfort a triune man. So here's how I want to close tonight in these few verses. Colossians 2:6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. God is able to comfort all of man. Man's ailment is not accepting the work of God and the help of God. Really, when we talk about it tonight, listen, I've met folks that have been discouraged, and God has comforted them. I've met folks who have had mental issues and mental problems and just struggle with some things in their life and struggle with some disorders. And as long as they put their faith into a therapy or a program or a medicine, it seemed like it was a roller coaster. They never really got help. I've never seen anybody that's discouraged or depressed take a pill and say, you know what, I feel better. They might have felt numb. They might have felt stoned. But I've never heard one say, you know what, I feel better spiritually because of the pill I've just taken, because of the counsel I just went to. Now listen, tonight I'm not saying I'm an expert tonight, and if you need to go to those things, then that's between you and God. But I'm saying this, that God can help the believer, and the problem is sometimes that we don't put our faith in God for that. Our trust is not in God, our trust is in something else. And we fight that battle over and over again. So here's where we need to be. We need to walk with God. Hey, as He saved you, so then also walk in Him. Look at this verse. And I want to bring some things out for this in a moment. Ephesians 5, 18 through 21 says this. Be not drunk with wine. That's for all you that believe in social drinking, or that nothing wrong with drinking beer or wine every now and then. He says, don't be drunk with wine. In fact, the book of Proverbs says this, don't even look upon it when it turns itself aright. When it's fermented, he said, don't even look upon it. And so don't give me this idea, well, Christ turned water into wine, he made people drunk. That's a bunch of heresy and blasphemy. Why would Christ say in one scripture, don't be drunk, then another incident in his life make folks drunk? Doesn't make any sense to me. But for those that want to justify drinking, have at it, but you're wrong. Because the Bible says, don't do it. Watch this now. He says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And so that's what man needs. What? The Spirit is our, if we walk with God and walk with Christ, He's what? He's our comforter. We're walking with our comforter. You know, when I'm with my wife, I'm not lonely. Why? Because we're together. Now, she might be a little lonely because she's with me. But I'm not lonely. We're together. But we're not together. When we don't walk together, well, then we get a little lonely. You miss each other. You know why some Christians tonight are not being helped? They're not walking with their comforter. He doesn't say that we're to be filled with the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God is also our comforter we're to be filled with. If you're filled with, how's that going to help us if we're filled with the comforter? Okay? He should bring some comfort. Now watch what the Bible says here. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Really tonight, if I didn't have so much more stuff I wanted to give you, I could pretty much close our series tonight with this verse. Because not only does God tell us who our comforter is, He tells us how to get comfort by being filled with the Spirit of God. Watch these phrases here. So if I partner with God for my comforter. So God, the triune God, is my comfort. I'm not going to partner with Him for my comfort. We just read Psalms 5:18, and we read the following verses. He says that we're to speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns. You know what it is? Sometimes good to talk to yourself. The right things. Sometimes my wife's been working at home now the last 2 weeks, and sometimes I'll hear her in the bedroom, and I'll say, are you talking to me? And she'll say, no, I'm talking to myself. It's like, well, I hope you're doing well then. You know, so I guess that's the only person you can have intelligent conversation with is with herself. And, but God says that we're to speak to ourselves in what? Psalms and hymns. And so when I face discouragement, if I'm going to partner with God for my comfort, I got to talk to myself right things. It's easy to get discouraged, and all of a sudden you've been talking to yourself about all the bad things in life. Well, I don't have any money. I don't have what I really want. I had some dreams in my life, and they didn't come true. And I had some goals I didn't make. And you know what? I don't have the nicest car as somebody else does. I don't have the nicest house somebody else does. And you know, I liked that girl, and she dumped me. We talk about all that. We can speak to ourselves all these bad things that further what? Depress and discourage somebody. Tonight, if you know, I don't watch a whole lot about the Corona. I check every now and then on the news every day about the coronavirus, but I can't listen to it all day long. Why? Because it's going to create a fear within me. I'm going to get anxious. I'm going to get nervous. It's bad enough already because I'm not so afraid of the virus, so I'm not making light of it. I'm afraid of what this is doing to our country and how it's going to change our country and change our people, not for the better, but for the worse. And I'm afraid of what our government's doing, overreaching its power. And doing unprecedented things that never done before. And so, but on the positive note, just ushering us closer to the coming of Christ. And so I say, even so, Lord Jesus Christ, come. But we're to speak to ourselves. Listen, if you want to live victorious, then speak to yourselves the Word of God and psalms and hymns. God then says this, not only do we speak to ourselves right, but sing and make melody in your heart. There is power in music. And there's power in the right kind of music. You know, I was raised upon country music, Brother Tigas. That's probably why you didn't get my joke about Jolene not taking her man. But anyway, you know, country music for the most part is, if I go back and listen to it, it's discouraging. It's depressing. It kind of puts you in this kind of this mellow mood, you know, and the rock music can do some things to you. And well, I shouldn't say all country, but there are some country songs that make you kind of want to fight and get down and do the hold down. But, the right kind of music doesn't minister to the flesh, it ministers to the soul. That's what godly music does. You know what, I like bluegrass gospel music, but sometimes even that doesn't help my soul. But boy, sometimes you look at the hymns and the psalms and sacred songs, songs that speak about Jesus Christ and my faith has found a resting place and all hail the power of Jesus' name and his coming. All these great hymns of the faith, boy, they are able. Listen, the songs that we sing on Sunday mornings, our scripture songs that we sing from the Word of God, they bring great comfort to the soul. And so he says, you know, if you want to get help, partner with me. Speak to yourselves in songs and hymns. Sing and make a melody in your heart. He said this, giving thanks. You know, the most ungodly people are oftentimes the most unthankful people. Truth. And the folks that are the angriest and the orneriest and the grumpiest cause the most problems usually are the most unthankful people. Now, listen, if you want to find great comfort for your hearts, so things you got to do for me. God said, listen, there's things I'm going to do for you. I'm the great comforter, but you got to partner with me. You got to get in the yoke with me. And he says, now speak to yourselves right things and sing the right songs and give thanks for what you have. Well, I can give thanks. I give thanks for the family that God has given me. I give thanks for the salvation that God has given me by His grace. The great salvation I'll never lose. And no matter what the world does to this body, it can't touch my soul. It can't touch me. It can't touch the spirit of, it can't touch my spirit. And the devil can't take away my salvation. I am safe and secured until Christ comes again. I have been reserved and preserved until the day of redemption. I've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And so I can be thankful for my salvation. I can be thankful for my church family. No, you know, the person that's not thankful will find a problem with everybody they sit by. They got their nose bent out of shape. They're always looking for, you know, they're looking, you know, and really when they do that, they're trying to justify their own pitiful life. Exactly. So we're looking at things that other people, we're critical of the pastor and his wife and his children, the deacon, the church member. We criticize, but you know what, and here's the problem. We have forgotten where we came from. What Christ saved us from. And so when you get a little bit critical and a little sideways, remember where Christ saved you, have some patience and be thankful. I'd be thankful. Listen, we've been on quarantine now for what, over two weeks? You know, I still got food in the refrigerator. I'm still eating. I still live in a dry house. So there's something we can be thankful for. Thankfulness will really help you overcome this thing of discouragement. Be thankful. A lot of times, I'm not trying to slander tonight or be unkind to the person that's fighting depression, but oftentimes a depressed person is very unthankful, very selfish. That's true. Now, they may not like that, but that's true. And so tonight, be thankful. Lastly, watch this. The scripture said this in Ephesians 5, submitting yourselves one to another. Don't be a rebel. Be submissive. Submit. Submit to God. You can't fight God and win. Never. No, you can fight God and he'll let you, you might think you're winning for a while. Well, this is a great life! That life comes to an end real quick in tragedy. You can't fight God and win. Amen. Submit to God. Submit to His Word. Submit your life to Him. And when things get hard, just buckle down and say, God, I'm not going to, though you slay me, God, I'm going to serve You and trust You. God, I'm not going to deny You. I'm not going to walk away from You. God, I'm Yours, lock, stock, and barrel. Submit to Him. Submit to Your authority. Submit to those that you love. Husbands, listen, this thing about, well, I'm the man of the house, you should submit to me. You know, I understand that. But shouldn't you submit also to her? Help her needs? Meet her needs? Know her and love her like Christ did the church? Hey, you young folks, you want to get through the teenage life, your teenage years unscathed and without all kinds of heartaches and scars? Submit to your authority. And so we find here tonight that God wants us to partner with Him. He's our comforter. He says, now partner with me. We do that by walking with Him. We do that by being filled with the Spirit of God. So how do I know if I'm filled? How do I know if I'm filled? Am I gonna, you know, am I gonna levitate? Probably not. Am I gonna all of a sudden start uttering tongues and speaking unknown language? Probably not. Probably not. But are you speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns? Do you have a heart, a song in your heart for the Lord? Hey, are you giving thanks? Are you being submissive? These are all manifestations. You know, we want the incredible. Oh, that guy, it was incredible. He was full of the Spirit of God and he did some great things. You know what's a great thing? Those things. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and singing your hearts to the Lord and making melody and giving thanks and being submissive. Those are great things that manifest that person is filled with the Spirit. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm not the smartest guy in the bunch. I'm not the brightest bulb in the carton. But I'm going to tell you, when you find folks living that way, you're going to find very few people who are battling with depression and discouragement over and over. Listen, I understand life. I get it. But we ought to be more victorious than we are defeated. And when you live this way, according to the Scripture, partner with God for your comfort, then God brings victory in your life. God does not, if you will, coat or begot losers. He makes us, according to Romans chapter 8, more than conquerors. Well, that's over our own emotions as well. So now I want to encourage you that we have a great comforter, the triune God. Now, tonight I'm going to ask you a question. Are you partnering with Him for your comfort? Are you in the yoke with Him? Are you walking with Him, being full of the Spirit of God? Tonight, if you've not been saved, none of these things tonight to you are possible until you first receive Christ as your Savior. There is no victory. You will live in fear. You will be anxious for the future. There is no peace for the soul until you first turn to Christ, confess your sins, repent, and turn to Christ and say, Lord, save me from my sins and from myself. When you do that, place your faith and trust in Him, He'll save you. And you have all these promises that belong to you. Tonight, are you walking with the Comforter? Well, tonight we come to you in closing. We thank you tonight, dear God, tonight for your precious word. Lord, may tonight you help us to partner with you, Father, as we go through this life. May we walk with you, be filled with the Spirit of God. And Lord, may we also enjoy the victory that's in Christ Jesus, Lord. Thank you tonight for your precious promises, we ask. And thank you tonight for all these things. We pray in your name. Amen.